Boys! Alex, you didn't do it.
Oh, well, I figured you'd just do all that shit. Okay, hey, welcome to Noise Boys.
Alright, that's good enough. It's been a little while since we did a Noise Boys. Been too busy having actual topics.
Yeah, actual things worthy of a full-on fucking episode.
Yeah, this one, we were going to do a different one, but we decided to kind of push that one back. Let's talk about Paper Mario Pro Mode first, before your list of unimportant bullshit.
Okay.
Alright, Alex, so how many mods of, like, older games have you played?
I don't really mod a lot of older games. The only thing I've really, like, extensively modded was shit like the Elder Scrolls games on PC.
Because, like, kind of same here. Like, I played some Super Mario World mods. Like, I tried playing, oh, shit, what was it?
One of those Kaizos?
Yeah, it was like a Kaizo Mario that was actually fun. I played Waluigi World, that one Waluigi game. Psycho Waluigi, that's what it was called. That was more of, like, an entirely new game.
Wasn't that off Cayman, that old shitty site?
Yeah, this website that almost certainly gave you, like, a million viruses and was the reason for your laptop exploding.
Yes, but you know what? I got to play Sir Fred Ellery Remake, alright? The best game ever. I got to play fucking Gunner 3, Glaze. All of those games were so, like, shit, but I liked them. Because, like, I don't know, they're just short and arcadey, all of them.
Wasn't Sir Fred the game that was basically entirely RNG, and you could just get, like, oh, the rope didn't spawn. Guess you lost.
No, you have, like, 8 different ways to enter the castle and, like, explore it and find treasure and shit. And, like, the items that start on the ground are randomized each playthrough. The rope just gives you, like, an easier way into the castle. It was the one that I could, like, figure out.
That's right, because I don't remember the plot of Sir Fred.
Neither do I.
Give me a quick rundown. What is the deepest lore for Sir Fred L Remake A?
Well, it's the remake of a fucking, like, old, super old, like, before color was invented for video games video game. It was, like, a Commodore 64 game, a super old game called Sir Fred. It is the L Remake-A of that, and you play as this fat little, like, Hispanic guy named Sir Fred, who's gotta fucking hut his fat ass into a castle and save a princess.
Literally me.
Yeah.
Was Cayman also, like, the go-to place for the Dragon Ball Z Mugen games?
Or
was that somewhere else? Was it where you got, oh, God, what was that game? Was it called Sidekicks? Where, you played as, like, Toad, Tails, and someone else.
Oh,
and,
like, Ugandan.
And, like, had the Arizona tea.
Yeah, I see you have Arizona tea, as well as orange Tic Tacs. It doesn't matter, you will pay. Yabadoo, yabadoo, yabadoo day. That game was so shit, but I fucking loved it.
I only remember the opening cutscene.
Everyone does. It was a game that I 110%, like, confirmed about, or confirmed my thought about. Sure of, that's it. 100% sure of that. It was me and you from an alternate universe decided to make a really stupid shitpost game. Because that's what that game is. Nothing about it is serious. It swaps between between, like, a beat-em-up and, like, a platformer at random. As well as there's that stupid fucking huge muscle guy who only says, "You said it, Toad." Because you can't say Toad.
That's right. You said it. Toad. Because we found the game when we were living in, like, Plainfield. So this was, like, 2007, 2008.
Yeah, it was forever ago. It's probably, if we were to look at it now, it's probably not funny at all. Because we're in our 20s now. But back when we were, like, 13, that shit killed us.
I remember for your birthday one year, I got you a jug of Arizona green tea. It's some orange Tic Tacs.
Literally, only I'm going to get that jug. Because only I played that garbage. Fuck, I need to go get an MP3 of that song. I know what to do. My friend recorded gameplay footage of it, and it's, like, the only thing of it on YouTube. And it has the intro, so I'm gonna take it, cut the intro of the audio up, and fucking put that shit in my phone. I'm gonna be jamming out. It's like, you know that, like, stupid little cop? It's like, oh man, I wonder what that guy's listening to. And it just zooms in, like, listen to, like, fucking, like, rap music. And it's just, like, this cute girl. It'll be me. It's like, I wonder what he's listening to.
and orange Tic Tacs.
Fuck. All right, but what we were talking about? Oh yeah. Super Mario Hard Mode. Go back onto that.
All right. So after God, when did Paper Mario come out? Like 2001, maybe.
It was either 2000 or 2001. It was just like at the end of the N64's like era.
Yeah, it was. So Paper Mario, super fun RPG. Love it to death. It's great. It's fantastic. Everyone loves it. We did a whole thing about Nintendo RPGs. And I spent a lot of time complaining about Paper Mario in there. But what this mod is, okay, so for a lot of Nintendo games, there's, like, hardcore, like, major cool guy runs that are, like, you have to use, like, advanced speed running tactics. And, like, oh, here's a million enemies, you gotta use fucking Koopa drifting. You gotta use the fucking Yoshi Kaiba fucking Garugamesh stomp to get past this. You know, super... it's just fucking dumb shit that only someone who's like an expert who only plays Paper Mario is gonna get, you know, like those kind of Kaizo mod bullshit. But here's the thing about Paper Mario is that the damage numbers are so low that, like, say you put in an extra you put in a room that's just fucking like 17 Koopas, you can't just not take any damage in Paper Mario. You're going to be taking, you know, this enemy will deal one damage, you know, when you're guaranteed to take so much damage, so you can't just spam enemies everywhere. You have to actually really think. And this mod is actually really, really good about that. So it's the first mod that I found for an older game that keeps the feel of the original game. And what really cemented it for me was, like, about at the end of the prologue, when you go and you get... because for the start of Paper Mario, you know, you don't have the action command. You don't have timed hits. Really not sure why they waited to introduce that. Like, I don't know why they waited so long. But, so they added a secret area in there. You know, you're running up the mountain, and then they add, like, just, here's a little area. You know, just, boop. Here's an entryway. Fits into the world. Makes perfect sense to be there. It's like, Goombario's like, whoa, hey. I don't know what this place is. It's not on any maps. You go in there, he's like, oh, this is an abandoned temple that we used to worship the shrines, like, the shine spirits at. And here's the kicker. Here's the thing that sold me on this being really good. They hid secret items in that area. You could go up like a waterfall and there'd be a secret item there that you get with Paracarry. And it's like, whoa, shit, this feels natural. This feels like a normal area of the game because they hid items here. It's such a small thing. Like, I found a fucking star spirit, like a star shard in there. Those fucking things that you turned in for badges. Like, that's a mage, like, boom, got it. And, like, the game is harder. They added a whole bunch of badges. They added new enemies. For example, a flying spiked Paragoomba, which I just, like, once I fought him, like, I used Goombario on him. He's like, Mario, I think we got a problem here. Because you can't jump on him. You can't hit him with a hammer. And then I'm like, oh, wait a second. I got the hammer throw badge. I have to actually think and prepare. You know, like, no, like the enemies aren't incredibly hard, you know, super hard Kaizo bullshit. Enemies deal twice as much damage, but you guard for twice as much. So, like, if you mess up a guard, yeah, that Goomba's going to hit you for 4 damage. But if you guard it right, you know, he's not going to deal anything to you.
You actually have to be good.
Yeah, and it's like, good, but not, like, a fucking god, because Paper Mario is a very simple game. The mechanics are simple. But, like, the first boss, the Goomba guy, Goomba King... when you fight him in the normal game, like, I knew he was coming up, so, you know, I saved a fire flower. And I'm like, okay, cool, here we go. Here's the Goomba King boss fight. You know, I started off, and I'm like, boom, there we go, awesome. I use a fire flower. Doesn't kill the Goomba bros. In the normal game, you fight a red and a blue Goomba before you get to the boss. And then you fight them again, and those guys are at half health. They were at full health this time, and the red one was immune to the fire flower. Those fuckers knew... But, like, even then, you know, like, it's just, oh shit, I used a fire flower, and then I hit the tree and the coconut fell on him, and then, you know, I was just barely able to get by in the skin of my teeth, and I got him, you know. But I streamed a little bit of it, actually. I'm up to Koopa Bros Fortress, and Koopa Bros Fortress, I about shit myself, because I went into battle and there was a Koopa, a bomb mom, and a fucking Clubba. I was like, shit, fuck, what do I do? Because Clubbas are... You don't see them until Tubba Blubba's castle. They're the big green dudes at the fucking maces.
Oh yeah, those guys. They're like from Super Mario World that like spit out the spike balls and throw them at you.
Yeah, and like on the way there, there was an item block, and underneath it was a fucking hammer, bro. And I'm level 3, and it's like, whoa, shit, there's a big guy. Oh, I'm gonna avoid him and come back later once I have a bunch of items to, like, smack his ass with. Like, that's something that they would put in the normal game. That happened in fucking Thousand Year Door with Gus. You know? What I can do is I can go, oh, I'm gonna get a stone cap, and then I'm gonna get a bunch of thunderbolts and zap, 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 zap. Sweet, I killed this dude super early on. You know, it's not impossible. It's not, like, hardcore, super smart tactics. It just feels like Paper Mario on hard mode. And I'm really, really liking it so far. And they added, like, the whole thing was made with mod tools, which exists now. So more people can make Paper Mario mods, which I'm pretty excited for.
It reminds me of two things. Once they put all those Sega Genesis, like, ROMs on Steam for, like, $1 each.
Oh, yeah, that I did that. I bought Golden Axe. I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, and they made this big update where instead they all made it into one game. It's called, like, the Sega Mega Collection or whatever. And then each one of those $1, like, ROMs is technically just DLC. Because when you start up the game, you actually are, like, in this total nostalgia bait, like, little room full of, like, Sega posters. And you play on a little TV. And you can also, like, add filters to it to make it look like a TV. When you go to get a new game, instead of, like, you know, quitting the game and loading up a new one, you just, you unplug the thing from the cartridge, reach over to your little shelf and put a new one in. Just, it gives you that little immersive feel. But what I like about that is that they put modding, like, official, like, mods and shit, up on the Steam pages. So, like, I could play as fucking Hatsune Miku, because that was the first one added, in fucking Streets of Rage if I wanted to.
Like, dude, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because you have to think, like, how can we make it so people would want to buy this stuff and use it on Steam as opposed to just getting an emulator? Well, how about we support mods and let people download them easier right here? And boom, there you go. It's what you do. It's awesome. And it also reminds me of, I mentioned Elder Scrolls modding earlier, which is no stranger. Everyone knows what fucking... Everyone's seen those stupid Oblivion and Skyrim, like, fucking pics of, like, people modding in girls and shit. But I went further. I went and reinstalled Morrowind. And I'm like, okay, Morrowind looks like ass today. Let's get some mods for it. So I got this really big, like,
go to Elders... Or what is it? Elder Scrolls Nexus. Morrowind. Big titties mod.
No. Well, hold up. Let me get to that. You're going to like this story. So, I get this just... It's just like a big pack that has, like, every HD mod ever. It updates the textures. It gives everyone these really creepy-looking, like, realistic faces. Because the faces are, like, textured on, and it's fucking creepy. And then there's...
It's one of those things where it's, like, hyper-realistic Mario in Unreal Engine 4. And it's like someone just went outside, took a picture of his fucking tree, and stapled it on there, and it looks like shit.
It looks like the world looks better, but the character faces are just... I would rather them look like mud, like before. And so I go, like, to the first town.
Oblivion potatoes.
So it's just, yeah. So I go to the first town, right? This mod also adds extra NPCs just to, like, exist in the world to make it feel a little better. Adds extra, like, foliage. That's fine. That's okay. Don't care. I'm walking through the very first town, type the guy who wants to find his ring, etc., and do the little quest to find that, like, tax collector guy who's dead. I go over, and because I start the game, I take off his clothes, take off his robe to take him for myself, and just, bam, smacked in the face with an 8-polygon dick. Because I didn't read the fine print that not only were these HD Morrowind mods, they were nude mods. Tad. They look like shit, because it's Morrowind. So when I take up,
okay,
just bam.
What would have been worse, 8-polygon dick or 800-polygon dick on a normal person in Morrowind?
I don't ever want to see a Morrowind nude mod again. Look, if you like nude mods, that's your own business. But Morrowind looks like shit. So having, why not just nude mod something that looks a little better? Like, fuck.
Okay,
dude.
I have an actual theory. A game theory about why that new mod's in there.
Why?
A lot of armor mods will usually work around, like, because it'll give you, like, at least in, like, Oblivion and Skyrim, like, you know, updated, like, body mods that let you put on, like, different equipment and stuff. And that's what people base their, like, their armor mods and clothing mods off of. And so you gotta have the dick under there, or it's not gonna work, because the body doesn't have the right, like, pieces, I guess.
You gotta have the dick under there, it just won't work.
Exactly.
Okay. Isaiah of Paper Mario. I've been playing this new hot game that just came out recently. It's called Big. And it's, made by the studio...
Are you talking about Spacious?
No, I'm talking about Large.
Talk about Vast?
I'm talking about Huge. This game... This game is, pretty alright. It's new. It just came out, like, a fucking week or two ago. It's been in development for, like, ever. And, it's this third-person shooter. It's, like, ability-based shooter. I don't want to call it a MOBA, because it's not really a MOBA. Like, it's kind of like how Monday Night Combat was, like, similar to a MOBA, but wasn't, you know?
Yeah. Monday Night Combat was fun as hell.
It was. It had some issues. Like, my friend complains about how, if you were a character with a grab attack, you would just win and kill everybody, because, like, you could just map people all the time. But I'm like, that's not a problem. That was fun as shit. Because Monday Night Combat wasn't a serious game.
Didn't the sniper have a really good grab? And the assault dude?
The assault, he had a charge attack, but when you upgraded it to level 3, the charge would turn into a grab, so you just run at somebody, like, you would, like, run at somebody, okay, so you know how, Raging Demon is, you run forward, and then when they're grabbed, they kind of, like, get locked in place real fast, because, you know, it's a grab, so, like, you would charge somebody, they would try to jump away, but this isn't a fighting game, so they just get, like, warped back into where they were standing, you would punch them in the stomach, and then uppercut them, and go send them, like, 30 feet away and kill them. It was fucking stupid. Or the sniper. I never played the sniper like a sniper. Instead, I ran around with the third ability, sniper grapple. I would grab people, like, if you had this Uzi out, which I would just run around using, you would, like, kick someone in the face and they just go flying. Or if you whip out the sniper rifle, he, like, hits them like a golf club and they just go flying. It was so fucking stupid. And Super, the awful one, they nerfed all the grabs, so they don't do that anymore. Fuck you, Uber. You piece of shit. You had a great game, and you fucking ruined it. Because it was kind of a MOBA, but not. And it came out before, like, League of Legends was popular and shit. Before, you know, MOBAs ruined everything. It's like, yeah, this game's, like, cool, new, and fun, and arcadey. Then it's like, fuck that. We're a hardcore MOBA with a jungle now. Look at us. We're like third-person League of Legends, man. Don't you love us? And it's like, no one loved him at all. No one loved him at all whatsoever. It was awful. Another thing... Okay, so back to fucking full here. So, this game reminds me a lot of Monday Night Combat with the way of... you're a third-person fucking shooter, heavily emphasized on your abilities. Whoops. Your abilities and shit. And, like... You upgrade your abilities, and you build these little buildings, much like how you can build the turrets in Monday Night Combat. These little, like, fucking creatures. They're just called creatures. You can make a Cyclops, a plant, or it's called Bloomer, and a Cerberus. And you can also get a Drake, and you can get other versions of them and shit, too. But the Drake sucks. Oh, and the Obelisk, whatever.
So, can you build these anywhere in Abundant? Or is it, like, only in specific spots?
It's specific spots, just like Monday Night Combat, where, there's 3 points, and there's usually, like, 3 points for each team, and it varies for, like, map to map. Like, in the one canyon map, there's only 6, and there's 1 point that's, like, a neutral point that anyone can take. And so, like, you mm-hmm. want to have, like... If there's 7 points, you want to make sure you have 4 creatures, because what happens is you want to get energy. You have 2 big fucking guardians, hence the name, Sizable. You have these 2 immense guardians, the bird called Liera, who's called Bird Mom. Then you have Gren, the big purple snake called Snake Daddy. He's fucking, there's just these two. They are like your nexus, they are your fucking ancient, but... They defend themselves. So what you do is, when you create these little creatures, they slowly generate energy over time. That's why you want to have 4, so you can generate mm-hmm. more over time. And every kill you get also gives more energy. You get 20 energy from the creatures and the little, like, ore spots, and you get 10 for a kill. once one of the Guardians hits 100, they're like, it's time to attack, and they'll get out of their spot, like the bird will the griffin will fly fucking over the map, start shooting laser eye beams at everybody, and then it will grab the fucking it'll grab the snake and like choke slam him down, and then your job is to attack him when he's being choke slammed, because his little like gem on his head will open up and you do damage to him. They have three like hearts, and you have to do all three hits of damage to win the game. When the creature, when the substantial guardian slams him down and fucking it does initial damage, which you can get an auto wound. They're called wounds. Mm-hmm. When you get an auto wound, it's like, okay, we don't have to go over there and suicide our lives and over there. But the very last heart you have to fight for. You can't auto wound it and just win. And the defending players, they can, when they kill you, they generate a shield. And they can actually protect themselves from an auto wound if they kill enough players in time, because they have like a 20 seconds before the Guardians actually like get to each other side of the map and like start strangling each other. So like, mm-hmm. you have ample time to try to defend yourself. It's really up to you. Game's a shitload of fun. So the art style is good. I like this fucking, I don't know what to call it, but it's like everywhere. A lot of people are sick of it because it is everywhere. It's that fantasy style that looks like water painty and has swirls everywhere. Like, I don't know what to call it.
The Dota Radiant stuff?
No, not Dota. Well, Dota's kind of like that, but Dota's not nearly as like vibrantly colored. But it's kind of like that. Or it's like kind of like what Wind Waker looks like, or kind of what like Dawn Gate looked like, that fucking MOBA that never took off.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I saw Jumbo when I was at PAX West, and I wanted to play, but like, you know, I couldn't get in there because there's so many goddamn people trying to play Immense. I know the outside you're talking about though. It's like there's a lot of single colors,
yes,
that go across a relatively large area.
It's that bright, like, watercolory fantasy style with a lot of swirly pattern designs everywhere. Hell, when you get on your airship for the snake guy, he literally all of those flags have that the exact same fantasy swirl I'm talking about. I'm like, goddamn, this art style's everywhere. Like, a lot of people don't like it because it's everywhere, but I think it looks nice. Like, I'm just going to be that guy with a shit taste and say, I think it looks kind of nice. But
so in Colossal, so there is no like Nexus where you blow up and get a bunch of minions to push forward, right?
No, there's no minions. It's just the creatures standing in their little spots, and then you guys have to fight.
Okay, so can you attack? So you capture those areas to try and get your dude to fly over there and beat the fuck out of the other guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then so can you just like try and kill the other dude? Like,
no,
can you just try to run over and kill Snake Daddy?
They are invulnerable to damage initially. They have to be grabbed by the other one and slammed down to expose their weak spot. If you try to get near them before, they'll just fucking shoot you with laser beams and you'll die, like a Nexus turret.
Are they held like, will the snake like, or the griffin like hold the snake down and like the snake's in like his weak spot stays open in that one spot? Or
yeah, it stays open.
Does he kind of like wrestle
seconds
around?
So there's like an animation. Like, it counts down, right? You have like 20 seconds for them to fly over, shoot their laser beams, and like grab the other one. So like during the last like 4 seconds, they do like an animation where they're like fighting each other, and then, you know, whichever one's on the rampage will grab the other and slam them down, and then a new timer will show up called vulnerable, where you have, I think, like 18 seconds to, if it's not an auto wound, you have 18 seconds to wound them right there and hit their weak spot. So it's two, like,
the auto
timers.
Wounds, is that just a chance, or if you like capture all four, does it just give you an auto wound?
No, the auto. Okay, so like, if you see the UI, it makes a lot more sense. Like, they have the three hearts. They have like three hearts, and then like there's a meter next to the heart. When the bird or like the snake come over to grab the other one, you'll see like a bunch of that like health bar part glowing and like flashing. That's the automatic damage that the fucking guardian's gonna do to the other guardian when they slam him down. So like,
okay.
So like the first, like, you never get an auto wound the first time, but like say like you don't ever suicide for the first wound. That's just stupid strategy wise. So like you rampage, it wounds them. You rampage a second time, and unless, you know, they get a shield at some point during that defense phase, the next time they rampage, it's gonna just auto wound them anyway because they're gonna have low health for that first heart.
Oh, so like, okay. So So you have the snake come over, and, you know, it chokes the bird. It does a set amount of damage no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so even if the other team defends successfully, you still won that, you know, round. So that they're going to get
damage. The only way they can prevent...
But they have to kill it at the very, very end.
Yeah, so the automatic damage, that auto wound, can never win... That set damage can never win you the game. You have to always commit to the last heart, which is a smart idea. But, remember, like I said, the defending player during a rampage can kill the enemy players and get a shield. If, like, during that, like, 18 seconds or 20, whatever it takes for the Guardians to get to the other side, they get, like, five kills, they can actually get enough shield to prevent that auto-wound damage. I've seen it happen a couple times. It's rare, because mostly, you know, if it's an auto-wound, you're just going to hang back and not really run in. But if, like, it's close to, like, oh, we can get that wound and people suicide in, they generally can actually lose that auto-wound in the first place. So, like, you never really want a suicide on a rampage.
All right, this game sounds pretty fun. I downloaded it and tried to play, and it's not supported by my graphics cards. So that's pretty cool. So
it sucks to be you, nerd. But I get distracted. So I was going to go back to the art style thing. So with it, I'm fucking, like, breathing real heavy fucking over here. It's high as hell in here. Forgive me, people. But it's fucking... I'm just human. Fucking, So the art style... I like the style, but I hate 80% of the character designs.
Really?
Because, let me tell you, if you go to, like, a... Have you ever seen the fucking hefty character list?
I've seen a few. Like, the only ones that I know of is that there's, like, this big happy dwarf dude. There's a robot that looks like the one from The Incredibles that Mr. Fantastic beats up on the island, like the big orb with the tank treads.
Yeah.
And then there's, big happy dwarf dude. And then there's, like, a little girl with, like, an ancestral spirit knight.
Yeah, that's her dead dad. She picks up his sword, and his spirit comes to, like, defend her. She's got a fucking stand. It's pretty cool. There's a JoJo's reference for you fucking losers out there. But the thing with Mountainous is that, like, 90% of the characters just look like shit. Like, Taito the Swift, he looks cool. That's why he's on, like, the cover. Fucking Trip looks there. She's, like, the least unique looking. She's just, like, a girl with a hood and two daggers. Whatever, cool, fuck you. She's there. Margrave, I like the design of. He's the big fucking, like, rhino guy with the huge hand who has the tiny little stubby legs. Because they're supposed to look cartoony. Like, they're supposed to be this portrait sometimes. But, like, look at Zandora. Zandora is the character I've been playing the most. The fucking character who all of my friends say looks like a fucking Steven Universe fan character. The purple fucking skinned lady. How fitting that I play her, right? Now, I hate her design. Her fucking stupid shoulder pads, her stubby little legs, and her fucking bright pink fucking skin just looks bad. Fucking the sniper lady, what the hell is that? She looks awful. Beckett looks inoffensive. Look at Lord Gnosis. I'm going to say this a lot, but look at his stubby little legs. He just looks goofy.
Lord Gnosis. Does he have, like, a giant nose?
Lord Gnosis is the big bull dude. He looks like someone from fucking Back to the Barnyard. You know, the big cows with the tiny little legs. Yeah,
when
I would have ruined that character for all you did.
The animals play.
Fucking. Like,
that movie and TV show sucked.
It was apparently successful enough to get a TV show, though.
Yeah, okay. Jimmy Neutron, like, took it the. Like, I liked the movie because the movie was just fucking bad. And the TV show was even worse. Jimmy Neutron was the other way. Jimmy Neutron's movie sucked. And then his TV show was really good.
Jimmy Neutron's a show that...
He had,
like...
shorts in the movie. If you watch the movie, Jimmy Neutron had, like, jorts. And it looks so weird.
I don't
it
remember.
It looks.
But
like,
anyway...
okay. Once we're done with this, I want you... Okay. Grab your phone, because I don't want to edit out the tickety-tacks of your keyboard, and type in Jimmy Neutron TV, like, Jimmy Neutron movie, or Jimmy Neutron jorts, and look at him. He looks fucking weird.
I'll do it later. I don't care that much. Anyway, the thing with fucking Enormous is that, like, half the characters look pretty mediocre. Like, whatever. One thing I'll give it credit, though, for the shitty character designs, you know, like the 80% that I don't like, is that, like, you get over it, doesn't really matter that much, and you kind of get immersed, you kind of get into the flow of the game, and it doesn't really matter what they look like. And one guy pointed it out, which actually made me kind of forgive it a little more, is that one guy said, aren't you happy that literally none of these girls are overly sexualized like an anime or something? And I said, well, that's an argument for another day, But he has a point. Nothing here can really be waifu baited to people. Like I say that you shouldn't really waifu bait in a game that you're trying to be a little competitive in. Like, I brought it up in the early Overwatch episodes when the game first started. I hated everyone who picked Widowmaker or Mei on my team, because they're never picking her for either of those two hers for their skills. They're picking Mei because she was this fucking thick, pandering, cute fucking waifu bait, and I hated her for that. Same with Widowmaker. No one plays Widowmaker because she's a fucking sniper. Okay, let me correct that. The people on my team didn't pick Widowmaker because she was a sniper. They picked her because of her fat ass. And it pisses me off. Look, I like fucking fan-pandering games too. I like waifus. Everyone fucking who talks to me knows that. But I at least make sure I'm good with my waifus when I pick them, alright? Get your fucking ass out of here.
You don't want to disrespect your waifu.
What?
You don't want to disrespect your waifu.
Yeah, seriously. But get your ass out of here. If you're going to be picking Mei and my team, you're just going to sit here taunting and moving the camera to a wall so you can look at her ass all fucking day. Bitch, I've got games to play. At least, that was back then. Now I just don't play Overwatch. I've moved on to Hefty. I've moved on to Immense. To Massive. And real talk, Modiga, Gigantic's the worst fucking name ever. Like, holy shit. We've been making fun of it for the past 20 minutes. It's bad. It has nothing to do with your game. I like your game right now, but holy shit, why didn't you call your game, like, Guardians or something? Because, yeah, the Guardians are
incredibly
big.
Generic.
Gigantic is just a word, Dad.
You know what, Alex? I would have liked Whopping. That's a pretty good name for a game.
Like, it doesn't really... Gigantic doesn't have anything to do with the Guardians.
Okay,
yeah,
you know what would have worked?
Big.
A good combination of both? Colossal. That probably would have worked better.
You know what? That you could call them the Colossus. The Colossi. That could be your fucking... The Guardians. Yeah, that would have worked, actually.
Colossi. Boom.
There you go. Look, then that sounds a little unique. Hell, you know what? Then they're making another Guardian for whatever reason. And he's going to be like a giant robot? You could have just made two robots. Boom. Colossi. We just fixed your game. Also, fuck Woo.
You're welcome.
That stupid little
I will
frog.
Expect my check in the mail.
Yeah. Fucking bring us on the team, Mautica. Fucking, and one last thing. One last closing thing before we move on to the next game. Fuck Woo. That stupid little frog. I know I'm just bad. I've only been playing this game for a couple days right now. I'm fucking 5,000 MMR. I don't even think that's good. That's sub 6,000, whatever. I'm a fucking scrub. But please, someone tell me how I fucking deal with him. I hate him so much. Like, Trip and Taito, when they come to assassinate you, you can at least move and fight back. But Wu has all those fucking knockups and shit, so you just can't play. It feels Hitler. It feels awful. Everyone I play with just says, oh, that fucking frog, every time he shows up and does his little combo.
Well, Alex, here's the thing. Overwatch has Genji. We should have something like that in our game.
Well, no, like, they have assassins. Like, they have Taito. Taito is jumping around all over the place, but he doesn't have a reflect. Taito's squishy as fuck. And, like, and he doesn't have a wall bounce. Completely different game. Also, by the way, you can sprint with a stamina meter, but the stamina meter drains really fast in combat, and jumping also costs a meter of stamina, and half a meter of stamina, and dodging costs one full bar of it. So, like...
What is dodging?
If you double tap, like, A, D, or S, you can't do a forward dodge, but you do a quick little, like, sidestep, like, twirl, and you can avoid an attack.
Well, Alex, you can do a forward dodge. You just look to the left and double tap W, or double tap D.
You know what I mean, dumbass. Fucking...
I know what you mean, but that's cool. They have, like, Metroid Prime, like, sidestep shit.
Oh, I almost forgot, too. For melee characters, after they do a little dodge, they can hit attack afterwards and do, like, a little lunge attack. And characters like Taito can they can buff their lunge to give them, like, a bleed. But remember, that costs stamina, which you might need later, so be careful with doing that. And almost, I almost got one more thing that melee characters can do that ranged characters can't, and it's a godlike thing that once my friend told me, I fucking just became a better melee player. When you're sprinting, you can do, like, a jump attack where they jump up and, like, slam down. If you hit someone in the back with that attack, remember, it's melee only. If you hit someone in the back, they're slowed by 40%. So, technically speaking, every melee character has a slow.
Nice.
And people like to run a lot in that game, so for people out there who don't know how to deal with runners, every melee character can deal with them. If you're ranged, though, you can probably have to fucking cry about it. Whatever, fuck
just
you.
Just get better and aim. Just aim.
Okay.
It's not that hard.
Yeah. Okay. Another game I've been playing recently, and I'm gonna fucking keep talking, is Hollow Knight. Now, I streamed this game, like, twice or whatever for people. Mostly for my friends, though. But I stopped fucking streaming in general. I was just streaming for those two idiots. Fucking.
Now, I'm going to give you a flag here, Alex. I haven't played Hollow Knight yet. I really, 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 really want to. So try not to spoil anything that's too cool for me.
Fine. I'll do a quick summary, then. Hollow Knight is a Kickstarter... Well, I'm going to go on the Kickstarter half of it anyway. Hollow Knight is a Kickstarter game that, much like a lot of Kickstarter games that came out that ended up being good, I didn't fucking back. I have a pretty bad track record with these Kickstarters right now, because I didn't back Shovel Knight either. I did back Shantae, though, and that one was good. So, hey, got that one
Alex,
right.
There's another game that you backed as well. Don't forget about it.
What?
Wink.
What, the Homestuck game?
Yeah, Hive Swap.
Yeah, I backed that. Let me interject. $15.
It has been officially 26 weeks since the release date of Hive Swap, which they announced as January 2017. It has been 26 weeks since the release of Hive Swap, guaranteed release, as they stated several times, in January 2017. Also, my favorite. Okay, so they started doing like weekly interviews with the team members. Almost every single one opens up with the sentence, as a new member of the team, and it fucking slays me. Holy shit. Oh, it's fucking, like, every time I look for it, like, come on, let me hear it. So as a member of the team since, December of 2016, ooh, I love it.
Jesus fucking Christ. But yeah, Kickstarter disasters, another episode. So Kickstarter success, Hollow Knight. Hollow Knight does a thing that I think every Kickstarter should do ever. It's got a low budget. So if you have a low budget in your Kickstarter game, it's really beneficial to not really rely on 3D graphics too hard, because low budget 3D looks really, really bad. Like, I'm going to compare it to the game that I mentioned in the previous episode that despite being pretty mediocre, I still kind of liked, you know, I was forgiving to, Hover. When you look at a thing, like, look at a screenshot from Hollow Knight, look at a screenshot from Hover. Yeah, Hover looks kind of like shit. Hover looks garbage. Hover looks really low budget and low quality. Like, you could tell that that's, like, an amateur game. You could tell, like, oh, yeah, that's Kickstarter game right there, right? You could see the oh, yeah, that was only made by three people. Then you look at Hollow Knight, which was made also by three people. It was, like, three or four people. Very, very, very small team of people, much like Hover. Look at Hollow Knight. I didn't even know that was a Kickstarter game till a week after I was already playing it. Didn't know.
Yeah.
Game looks like it's got a lot of quality. Sounds like it's got a lot of quality. You move, you jump, you feel it. It feels like a high quality game. It feels like a completed project. It feels good. It sounds good. It looks good. That's what Kickstarter games should be.
A game should never tell you from its gameplay and presentation that this was a Kickstarter game.
Pretty much. Like,
it's
Shovel
a bad
Knight,
idea
if
a game gives off those vibes.
Like, you can't tell that with Shovel Knight. And you can kind of tell that, like, you can't tell that Shantae was a Kickstarter game, but you could totally tell that game was, small in scale because of certain things. But, like Hover just feels like a low-budget game. It's just how it feels, you know? And that's okay. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad immediately, but looking good and feeling, just looking good, is a good way to get, like, a good opening, like a good head start when making a video game. And that's what Hollow Knight did completely well. It's a beautiful art style, beautiful sound direction, and it's just great in almost every fucking way. The only thing I didn't like about it, and they fixed this with this update that I just played right now, was one specific area, which you'll get to. I'll just say it's deep down. When you go down there, through my playthrough, because I wasn't really using a guide, I had my stupid friend kind of help me out where, like, grubs were and shit, but, like, you know,
my stupid friend.
Yeah. I 100%ed the thing, but it took me, like, 30-something, like, 30 hours. I think I have 33 total hours of playtime in that file. So, like, you know, took me, I was around all over the place. 100% speed run is, like, 3 hours. So, you know, I kind of wish I had a guide sometimes, because fuck, did I get lost a couple times. But that's the good part, because it's a Metroidvania, which is kind of what you want to have happen. You want to explore around and do all this shit. So, like, there's that one area, because of this, I went up and down this area multiple times, and to get to it is kind of like not a hassle, but a walk. And like one of the biggest complaints is that there should be, they're called stag stations, a fast travel point there in that location, and they fixed it by putting one in there in this update. So, you know, thanks, I guess. We appreciate that. But game's fucking fantastic. It's got some backtracking issues, but they just fixed it with this update with a new ability, which is you can put a little like warp gate down once you upgrade your fucking thing called the Dream Nail. You can warp, you put a point down and just immediately warp back to that one point. It's kind of like those crystals in Dragon's Dogma. So like,
oh cool.
I need to play like a new play new file specifically with that to see if that fixes everything, because I can't just act retroactively like, oh, that fixed everything, because you know I've already unlocked all my fast travel points, I've already beaten the game, you know, I've done everything. So like, I need to try that again. But I think they clearly listened, and that's a great idea. And even without that, I still 100% of the game. That clearly didn't stop me from fucking playing through this game and immediately buying the soundtrack and putting it on my phone. Fucking love it. I highly recommend it. Absolutely fantastic. One thing though, there's this place called there's this place called the Super Meat Boy Zone. Man, was that place a bitch to fight. You'll see if when you eventually play it, Ted. I'm trying to be spoiler free, I'm sorry people. But once you eventually get to that point, Ted, you're gonna see why everyone calls it that. But it's still a fun place, but man, great game.
I'm guessing just full of instant death traps. You got to do really nice platforming, shit like that.
Sorta. You're very close.
Hey, maybe I'll find out when I get there.
Yeah, but you can only get there if you're on. Yeah, but you can only get there if you're on the path to 100%, because you need a specific like no, not 100%, but you need the true ending item to get to that area.
Okay. Speaking of what. I just remembered, I've been waiting for La Mulana 2 for a really long time. I'm so mad that I didn't back their Kickstarter, because they update every single week with progress.
Boy, I wish...
Every single week, it's
I wish a lot of other Kickstarters did that.
Yeah, like, every single week since the game was funded in, like, 2013, because it was right after the Kickstarter game for Homestuck got funded, and I'm like, aw, man, I didn't have a job, you know, I didn't have a job yet, so I couldn't back it. Oh, well, that'll be cool, I'll just look at the posts as they put them up there. And then, like, I sent them an email, and, like, I was a Slacker backer, and then they're like, yeah, here's, and it was in, like, very, very rough English, because the Japanese is their first language, for goddamn sure. And so they're like, okay, here, Pat, like, I had to fight and, like, go through Google Translate to get them to send me my password to enter the backer forums, and then last time I checked, they just deleted the English ones. So, like, I mean, okay, whatever La Mulana 2. I'll buy your game again when it comes out, I guess. Enjoy my money, you fucks.
Fucking, oh, Christ. I wanted to fucking talk about this one other thing that I think you, in particular, are gonna like. So, hey, Ted.
Doubt it.
Ted, you like D&D a lot, right?
Dungeons and Dingoes?
Fuck you. I'm going to tell my story anyway. So here's the story of the day D&D died, as in about an hour ago. So I mentioned it once before. Me and my friends were playing D&D. I'm just going to be right. You know, I already told them already, so I'm going to tell everyone here. I never really wanted to play D&D. I never did at all. My friends have wanted to do it a bunch, so I'm like, you know what? I'll say yes just to make them happy. They're never going to actually do it. I mean, come on. So they set up a date, and I'm like, fuck. So now I have to play. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be an asshole. I don't want to be that guy who ruined everyone's fun, you know? Because they're counting on me. So I fucking, like... So I grit my teeth, and I make my fucking whole character, Briar Gunkfeet. He's this dirty, disgusting gnoll who was born and raised in a sewer. Like, we did this thing that was actually really, really
fun. But Alex, what was your character like?
What do you mean?
Get it? Because I was saying that's like you, and then what was your D&D character? We have fun here.
Whatever, fuck you. So, like, we did this really fun thing before that, which was admittedly very, very fun, called Rolling for Your Backstory. You get, like, this fucking sheet, and you roll for, like, what happened in your backstory to, like, build your character up. It saves you the time of wait and making something really stupid and cringeworthy. So, like...
the lazy way to build a character.
It's actually way more fun because you kind of don't have full control of it. So, like, when you roll, okay, you were orphaned by your whore mother, where... You were left to rot in a sewer, and it's like, okay, this is getting sad. The sky darkened at your birth, and, like, you have all this, like, crazy shit happen to you, and it's a lot of fun.
It's so, like Mad Libs.
The only thing that I changed creatively was, like, because I lived in the sewer, I pictured it was, like, Rougeport from Thousand Year Door, where it was, like, there was a town underneath the sewer, or, like, mm-hmm. in the sewers. So, like, I just lived here in this fucking, like, sewerville. It was a lot of fun. But when it came to actually playing the game, the first section took, like, 4 fucking hours, and I'm like, well, this is long and boring now. We were fucking around with roles, but, like, no one actually cared and wanted to take it seriously. But the guy, our buddy who wanted to, like, you know, really get us into it, wanted to be, like, really serious. He, like, paid his artist friend to, like, draw art of all of our characters. And I'm just thinking, oh, man. Oh, no. Because remember, I didn't want to play, and I was just kind of banking on all of my friends arguing or, like, quitting before me, so I didn't have to be that guy.
You know, that guy.
I am. I had to be that guy. I unfortunately ended up being the biggest asshole on the planet Earth and say I didn't want to play. But Hold on, let me get to that. So, you know that movie, I think it's called Of Mice and Men, you know, with the two brothers, and the one's, like, retarded?
Let me see the... Can I see the rabbits, George?
Yeah, and he shoots him in the back of the head, and it's, like, really, really sad. So that was basically me. Once he brought me that art of my character, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. This is gonna hurt real bad.
Come on, Alex. Let's start up Roll 20 and play some Dungeons & Dragons. Do they have really good 20-sided dies over there, Alex?
Bang. I felt so bad because, like, I didn't want to play, but I wanted my friends just to be happy, you know? I didn't go into this trying to be a giant asshole. I just wanted everyone to have a good time. But I'm a giant asshole. And yeah, I don't think we're playing D&D anymore. You know what I was doing while I was having this conversation? I was playing the new Hollow Knight DLC. It's fucking great, by the way. Both those bosses are fantastic.
See, Alex, this is why I was saying, watch the DM workshop videos.
I don't want to play D&D. I never wanted to play D&D.
But they're how you make D&D fun. You don't get... Alex, you're not having the right fun.
You're having fun incorrectly. How dare you glitch that wall? That wasn't the way the developers wanted you to have fun.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever had fun role-playing is see the prologue episodes with Thanar, the crack-selling dildo merchant. The only way I can have fun is as I'm, one, being visually stimulated, two, actively making someone else's life a little less serious. If I can be just the jester, the trickster, the memester, that guy with the finger guns just fucking around, then I'm having a good time. That's what I need. That's what I need in my role plays.
Here's a fun little tidbit. I asked Dan if Thanar could guest star in an episode of Revival, and he told me to fuck off and never talk to him again.
Wait, I thought you run Revival.
It's me and Dan. Dan does all the story building and all, like, the hard work behind the actual game.
Oh, okay.
And then I do the podcast stuff. One thing that I want to bring up, though... we just got, like, a little bit left here to cover. So, I want to talk a little bit about... So, Doomfist finally came out after, God, like, 4 months?
Man, I just want to point out, and interrupt you really quick. I remember this one comment that was like, man, these guys talk about Overwatch a lot. Man, fuck these guys. And I'm like, you know what? In his defense, if I was seeing two fucking losers complain about Overwatch for 20 minutes, I probably wouldn't listen to it either. But hey, we're going to keep complaining about Overwatch. Like,
there's nothing really happening with Overwatch. Like, the only times I've played Overwatch in the past, like, fuck, 3 months, has been like we were setting up for Revival, like, last week, and I'm like, oh yeah, Doomfist came out, I'll play him a little bit. Okay, that was fun for like an hour, and then I just, like, you know, went back to not playing it because Overwatch isn't very fun.
No, it's not.
Because there's one team comp. But, like, so Doomfist came out, And Blizzard did this whole thing where they're like, hey guys, we got Terry Crews as the voice actor. Isn't that funny? Ha ha. Like, that's all good and fine. But then, like, the character came out and, like, he wasn't involved. It was like, okay, if they were just like, ha ha, guys, isn't that funny? And then, but then, like, they invited Terry Crews, like, to the office and did, like, a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And so they either, one, they baited everyone and the joke backfired because it ended up not being very funny because no one gives a fuck about normal Doomfist. He's just, I'm serious black man.
I'm serious African black guy man. Who can't raise his voice at all in any exciting way. Remember how me and you used to complain about, and a lot of people, complain about Overwatch characters lacking a lot of personality? Well, I'm glad they got rid of Terry Crews to make sure that there was as little personality in Overwatch as humanly possible.
And see, now here's where I'm, here's my theory, my second game theory of the day. So they have, like, if they're going to do anything with Terry Crews, because they didn't have his skins on the PTR, which I don't know why they didn't put him up. Because, like, just I thought, okay, you know, they're going to reveal. Yeah, they're going to reveal, oh, you know, his other gold skins, he's, you know, he's going to have, like, a wacky one. You know, he's going to have, like, a more African, like, one, you know. And then he's going to have, like, Doomfist. He's going to have one of the previous Doomfists. It's going to be Terry Crews. No, it's just, like, shitty budget fucking Mega Block Colossus from X-Men. And then just, like... And then, like, his tribal one's actually pretty cool. But... So here's my theory. They're going to release Terry Crews Doomfist as the first super premium skin, which will cost either 9,000 gold or be crate... Or, okay, it'll either be store only... Crate only, more likely, or it's going to be like a super duper 9,000 gold skin because we completely changed the model and the voice actor and the HUD icon and all of this, and it's really worth it, guys. You know, and it really, when you see someone with the with this skin, we really want it to feel like they really accomplished something. It's something neat, you know. I'm trying to do my best Jeff Kaplan shitty annoying voice here, but you know, we really want players to feel like Doomfist is a great character when they play as the Terry Crews one. So just fucking cough up the money. What are you, poor? What I imagine happening here.
One of 400 billion things I dislike about Overwatch is the lack of actual content, because when you actually look at all the updates...
I compared Overwatch and I compared TF2 within the first year. TF2 added, and granted, it is a little easier to add maps in TF2 because it's the Source engine. And they can, you know, add stuff easier. But TF2 added Arena Mode, Payload, the Medic update, the Heavy update, the Scout update. Like, that's a lot of content. Overwatch added what? Anna... Sombra, who sucks and no one likes, had a terrible, terrible arg that wasn't fun at all and led to absolutely nothing. Arisa, no one gives a fuck about.
I like Arisa.
And then 6 months after Arisa came out, here's Doomfist with absolutely no fanfare. Like, oh boy, cool. Thanks for all these skins, I guess, in the events. Those are kind of neat.
See, that's what I was going to get into, was when you actually look at all the content they've added, all they've ever really added, they've added, like, I think 3 maps, 3 heroes... Any heroes is actually pretty cool, because that can potentially change up the entire game. Like, Ana changed up the entire fucking meta. Sombra was pretty useless up until recently. Orisa, pretty useless up until, like, one point, King of the Hill. Like, I like Orisa. I love her, but, man, she wasn't really an exciting character. And Doomfist, who's out, and which I don't even care about. I don't know if people like him or not. I don't give a shit. I'm just done with Overwatch. But, like, they update the game incredibly slowly. Even balance changes take forever. And, like, they try to say, like, oh, we're smarter than you guys. We know what we're doing. This game's going to be the next big competitive game. Oh, shit. Everyone hates comp mode. Okay, this is a casual friend of the game. Hey, you know Quick Play with McCree being the most played hero? That's your meta. We know more than you guys. What's that? People are leaving because of dive comp? Well, we know more than you, wink. Hey, like, you know what makes... I'm going to say this. You know what makes League of Legends pretty good in that aspect of shit like this? They patch their game every couple of fucking weeks. You know what? Like, we went from, like, say, Nasus being, like, a terrible character, like, in the patch just a week ago, well, it should be, like, 2 weeks for when this episode comes out, just earlier, he's overpowered. He automatically wins every lane he's in now. Look at that. Look how much that just fucking changed. That didn't take four goddamn months. Like, that was just, boom, one day he's good now. And then, like, boom, maybe, like, next... What?
That's not a particularly good model, either.
Well,
because you have to let a game settle. Because you have to let a game settle and let the meta develop. You know, you let people find the strategies that work. And then I prefer the Valve way of, no one's using X, Y, or Z character. Why is that? Okay, we're going to go ahead and give them a boost up and see how that changes now that you have these additional options available. Like, with Overwatch, it's like TF2 competitive, where there's basically only ever one way to play. Like, TF2 competitive is Scout, Medic, Soldier, Demoman, and then I think another Soldier. Or I think the sixth one changes sometimes to Heavy. I didn't play a lot of TF2 competitive, but, like, that's it. You do not change in TF2 comp, because that's the only way to play. And that's, like, the worst part about Overwatch. Yeah, TF2 comp is a fucking joke. Like, TF2 isn't a competitive shooter. Fuck off with that. Just like Overwatch isn't a competitive shooter. Fuck off with that. You have one team. You're currently playing dive comp, or you're currently playing whatever that is. There's no, like, other viable team compositions. It's pretty fucking boring.
Well, yeah, but you can't disagree with the League of Legends way and then say, oh, yeah, this is still shit, too. The League of Legends way keeps things fresh.
League of Legends is a terrible balancing. It's just as bad. Because, alright,
At least it changes. We're going to get this heated debate.
I guess.
At least it's new.
I guess it does change.
It doesn't
if
take
that's the one
4 months.
Thing.
It doesn't. It's not going to take 4 months of you only picking, like, it doesn't take three damn seasons of you have to pick Ana or else you're not playing the game. It doesn't take fucking another season. You have to pick Lucio, Winston, Zenyatta, and whatever the fuck else, or you're not playing the game. You know what? You can fucking mid-season, they'll fucking just update it like, oh, now Vladimir's overpowered. Now you gotta play him. Oh, wait, fuck him. Old news. Now it's all about Fizz. No, fuck him. It's out of here. Now it's all about Jarvan. Like, it changes. It's a little more exciting. It's way better. Yeah, you can say what you want about League.
I guess
League,
that's true.
But when you're comparing it to, you know, when you've got two different guns to your head, you know, when compared to, like, Satan and the devil, when you've got League versus Overwatch, I'll take League, because at least things are being changed at a fucking, at a pace. Jeff sits on his little high horse. Jeff sits on his high horse like, yeah, don't worry, guys. I know exactly what I'm doing. Except every time he says that, he's been proven wrong and wrong again. They come into this game trying to make this overly competitive bullshit game that are like, hey, we're making an esport first.
How much was it for a competitive buy-in? Wasn't it 20 million or something fucking outrageous?
I don't know, but that, I wasn't even getting to that. But they overcharged the players to play in their tournament scene a shitload of money, which is why the tournament scene is dying. It doesn't even have to do with the meta itself. It's really just about a money thing. But I'll get to that. They talk about, like, we're esport first, game second. Oh, shit. We're going to make comp mode, and we're going to get rewards. These golden guns, we're going to make golden skins one day. Oh, shit, everyone hates comp. Oh, shit, never mind. Zip it. Back it up. No, we're a casual, friendly-only game. Quick play? That's your meta. Wink. Oh, fucking, hey, Roadhog's stupid and annoying. Everyone hates him. Well, we know more than you here at Blizzard, and we can say that he's totally fine the way he is. Oh, wait, back up. We're gonna nerf his gun now. Okay, whatever. Hey, Bastion, we worked on this update for months, and we think that Bastion's gonna be fine the way he is when he finally comes out. 1 week, back up. We were wrong. Oh, shit, back it up. Nerfing Bastion, he's unplayable again. They have been wrong every time. I hate Jeff, and I hate the Overwatch team. They're stupid, incompetent, too slow, and have no idea what they're doing. They never even make fucking content. What maps do they fucking add? Oh, a bunch of 3v3 shit no one's gonna play? Fuck you. Fucking, all they do is add events, too. Like, here's a bunch of really expensive skins. Here's your update. The fucking, the past one, which was, like, the Man vs. Machine mode, that was actually a good update. That added a new gameplay mode for you to play in. That was a good one. Do more like that. If you're going to make this stupid fucking thing, you're going to lore dump me, at least make me play a fucking new game mode that's kind of, you know, changes up the pace a lot. That was right there. Look, like how League changes the pace all the fucking time. You changed up the pace with that. What do we get now? Oh, Lucio Ball's back. Kill yourself, Jeff. I hate you. Kill yourself. Get out of here. Fucking get fired. I don't care. Fuck you. Get out of here. Fuck you. I hate you. Your game's
shit. One thing that I have to say,
though.
This
is why I play huge.
It's like... One thing I have to say, though, is that, like, the pressure that he... Like, that the Overwatch team must be under from the higher-ups at Blizzard. Like, hey, this is... We spent a fuckload of money on this. And we see, like, they see, like, oh, it's dwindling. Like, you better fucking fix that shit, right? Like... The amount of pressure he's got to be under has got to be pretty crazy, but still, like, fuck you.
Well, hopefully it'll be enough pressure for him to finally pull the trigger.
By which you mean buff McCree so that he can be usable again.
No, fuck McCree. I hate McCree. I hate him so much. He's a terribly designed character. Rework him entirely.
I prefer
McCree
over Genji. I hit, if I, when I've, the times that I've played Overwatch, like, in the past, like, I don't know, 2 months... When Genji's in a game, I'm just not having fun. Because the
I don't
game
know,
becomes...
man. You really want to go back to release all right, McCree?
These fucking idiots. These you fucking idiots can't kill this Genji. Guess I gotta go Winston, Reinhardt, or fucking Doomfist to take him out because they're too fucking awful at this game.
Do you really want to go back to Mr. Whoa there. Bang, 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 bang. Roll. Whoa there. Bang, 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 bang. Man again.
Yes, actually.
Fuck you.
Because that was really fucking funny.
Kill yourself, Mr. Jeff.
The fact that a Winston would jump on me and I could just, whoa there, pop, 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 pow.
Easy.
Pop, 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 pow. And that's how the West was won. That was hilarious to me. He was like Reaper. It was fucking great. I loved it. Unironically, had a really great time during that because it was so busted. The game became like, imagine if like one of the players could control the monsters in fucking Stupendous. Like, oh shit, here we go, fam, let's do this. Like, that's what it felt like. But they were just playing fucking McCree.
Oh, one more thing about Overwatch 8 before we close this fucking hour-long noise boys out. One more thing. Hey, Jeff, you know how Divecom's ruining games for everyone because no one has fun just jumping in and killing each other and then just throwing their... just clogging each other's guns with each other's corpses like they're fucking orcs or something? And even when you're on defense on any map, you still also run a dive comp and a purely offensive lineup because it's the only way to play. Hey, Jeff, you know what would be great? What if we had some characters with, like, defensive capabilities? Like, maybe a guy who could build a turret and stop people from just jumping in on the point. Or maybe some girl who can lay down these little traps that, like, slow people to control points a little bit better. Or maybe a robot who can, like, really hold points very well and can turn himself into a big turret to stop these people from just jumping in. Maybe if you can make half the cast actually playable, this game would be pretty good.
Well, Alex, here's... All right, hey, Alex, let me give you this. Let me give you this. How about... Okay, consider this. All right. A character that is an assault character and an assault character and then a useless tank. How about that? Is that good?
I hate Overwatch so much. I'm so glad. I don't,
everyone does.
Fucking wide can look just... It could look like Hover. It could look like Hover and I'll play it over Overwatch. I am so sick of this fucking game, man. Oh my god. Like, Doomfist could have been Terry Crews and I wouldn't fucking play either way. I still wouldn't care.
Really? Even if he was Doomfist?
Even if Terry Crews came in and said, ultimate power, and fucking ran around punching, and he was like, yo, it's me, dummy, and did all that fucking shit. If he was just like in my fucking horror movie dream, I still wouldn't play Overwatch, because I'm done with this piece of shit. Fuck it. That thing better come out. Like, the only way it's going to get me back is if it just straight up gives me, for free, two, like, really over-the-top sexualized skins for Pharah and Orisa. That's the only way you're getting me back in. You have to sell me on my two waifus before I even consider going back into that piece of shit game. And even then, those characters get to be buffed to the max before I even play. Because, sure, you can give me sexy Maid Orisa all I want, like that stupid fan art, and I'll be like, hey, that's pretty good. But then I'll look at her stats and be like, oh yeah, she's still unplayable. But then you could say, like, oh, Orisa's gun just does Genji damage now. No, Orisa's gun just one-shots Genji. And I'll be like, well, guess I'm reinstalling this game. Only way you're getting me back, Jeff. Fuck you, Jeff.
All right. So that'll round out this episode. I want to give a shout out, because I haven't done it in a while. I want to give a shout out to some of the fancy schmancy Patreon peoples. We just put out some more little rewards for the gold people who are the $5 and up. Just like on the Discord, I just added a new chat on there. We have some stuff coming up later this month for sure. We were trying to kind of put them out for a bit, but we kept hitting hitting roadblocks. But they should be ready sometime this month. Those are going to be fun. You can probably like guess what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say. But anyway, I want to go ahead and give a shout out to Toteke, April Geary, Jaren Kiwi, Sean Dunsmore, Big Platypus, No Two Hands, and Alba for being big old fancy schmancy boys on the Patreon. But now that the shilling is out of the way, you can find the podcast on Twitter at Let Me Tell You PD. You can you can send us emails at Let Me Tell You About @gmail.com. That's what they tell you about with three T's, because it wouldn't fit. And the idea of having Let Me Tell You About Q&A did not cross my mind. I probably should have thought of it. You can find all the places that we host the show on the website lmtya.com or letmetellyouabout.moe. Not letmetellyouabout.com, because that fuck man is still trying to sell it for $3,000. I check every day. But that'll have all the links to like the iTunes, Google Play, and also a link to Revival, a good Dungeons & Dragons game. Anything you want to say before we fucking crash this podcast, Alex?
Yes. One final thing. I played Final Fantasy XIV. It's just WoW, but slower. Kill yourself. Oh, and also all the models look like shit. Kill yourself.
Final Fantasy XIV, King of Fighters XIV?
Really makes you think.
Really makes your game look like a PlayStation 1 title.